Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Today's show is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. See what Purdy Insurance can do for you. Visit them online or on Market Street in Sunbury in person. Better yet, Steve will join us from the Sunbury Motors studio here in just a few minutes. I'm sure he will enjoy talking about the Daytona 500. He and I were messaging back and forth. He seemed kind of bored with all the left turns. So we'll get his thoughts on the Daytona 500. You know what my biggest problem is with the Daytona 500 and all these, actually, any of these speedway races? I don't like restrictor plate racing. I find it amazing. You know, I look back, Fox Sports 1 did a half-hour edited version of CBS's coverage of the 1979 Daytona 500. That was the first time that the Daytona 500 had been covered live, flag to flag. CBS was the broadcast company that were the network that was actually doing it at that time. Used about a fifth of the cameras that they did for this particular race yesterday. But the one thing that I noticed is the speeds were like 4 miles an hour slower than they were on Sunday. And that's because of the restrictor plates. Isn't it funny that we love racing so much and we want to see them go as fast as they possibly can, but we put a restrictor plate in on speedways to keep the speeds down? And the one thing you do see now that you didn't see, for instance, in the 1979 broadcast, all this pack racing. I mean, there's three wide and four wide at times, and it's definitely two wide back to about, you know, 30th place. You don't see these cars on a breakaway anymore on these speedways. And when there is an incident, it is a massive incident, like the one that happened just before the end of the race. I mean, it seems like it takes out everybody because they're all packed up. So my question is, which is more dangerous? If you're NASCAR and you're thinking about this, which is more dangerous? Is it more dangerous to put the restrictor plates in and have them packed up and have 40-some cars within a second of each other through the whole 500-mile race? Or is it better to let them go as fast as they possibly can and worry about, you know, obviously the crashes are probably going to be a little more severe. But the question is, are you going to have as many because you don't have the pack racing? And as a fan, are you more interested in pack racing than the two-car, three-car breakaway like we used to have, for instance, in 1979? Just some thoughts. I don't know. I'm a big fan of, you know, let them go as fast as they possibly can. Is there a safety issue? Yeah, probably is. But, you know, if you're an automotive driver, a racer in auto sports, you know the risk before you step in the car. Why would you want to make somebody slow down? Why would you want them to go slower and be jammed together? Just some random thoughts. You can give us your thoughts at 800-795-9565 as we continue with the Steve Jones Show in a moment.
My name's Alvin Schaefer, owner of Schaefer Productions Incorporated. We're a family farming corporation run with my wife, Terry, and my sister, Jean. We have a diversified crop and livestock farm. Without crop insurance, we probably wouldn't be having this interview today because probably on average 1 year out of every three, we're in a drought situation. Over the years, we've collected a fair amount of crop insurance indemnities, but that's, I guess, why you have it, and that's what we try to mitigate risk by having the crop insurance.
Now, more than ever, each producer is personally responsible for developing a crop insurance and NAP-based risk management plan for their farms before the enrollment deadline. Contact your FSA office or crop insurance agent and set up a meeting, because this time it's your responsibility to develop a plan that protects against the next disaster before the March 15 deadline. For more information, visit cropinsurancepa.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
See salesperson for details.
Haul more stuff in a truck from Zimmerman's. You are certain to find the truck you both need and want at Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram on Route 61 in Sunbury. During the President's Day event, now is the best time for big savings. Zimmerman's has the selection of 25 through 5,500 Rams and chassis that will satisfy your big hauling jobs, starring the exclusive 6.7-liter Cummins turbo diesel.
You gotta go to Zimmerman's!
Your next truck might be a 1,500 Ram, and whether it's a regular, quad, or crew cab, during the President's Day event, you may want to equip yours with a 3-liter EcoDiesel for power and efficiency. Most importantly, save as much as $8,500 on a brand new Ram truck. For example, drive home a brand new 2015 Ram 1500 4x4 with 20-inch wheels and a Hemi for only $31,661. Now you see where your best deal is. Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram on Route 61 in Sunbury.
You gotta go to Zimmerman's! Zimmerman Motors.
What can you do to prevent your chances of having a heart attack? Awareness of heart health is the first step. Learn more with Evangelical Community Hospital as we rock red for healthy hearts.
This February, be good to your heart. Evangelical Community Hospital and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation are joining forces to rock red for healthy hearts. This month is American Heart Month, and good heart health starts with the right doctor. Evangelical has doctors throughout the Susquehanna Valley in Lewisburg, Mifflinburg, Middleburg, Milton, Northumberland, and Sealands Grove. Call the Find a Doctor line at 1-877-989-EVAN to find a doctor near you, or visit evanhospital.com for a complete list of physicians in all specialties. Make a commitment to your health and rock red for healthy hearts.
Join WKOK and Evangelical Community Hospital as we rock red for healthy hearts. For more information, go to WKOK.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. As we roll through this, 800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Thon took place over the weekend, 46 hours, 708 dancers. They raised $13 million here at Penn State. And, of course, the athletic teams were strongly involved with outreach, performance, and so forth as a part of it. And James Franklin got up yesterday, and I think the number of times that you've heard me talk about this over the course of the last, especially, 2.5 years, not just 3.5, but 2.5, especially when the NCAA came down with the sanctions. But the word culture was loosely, I mean, really thrown out there in a real cavalier manner about Penn State. Very insulting. And in every speech that I have made along the way, and I usually go out and will do a dozen of these a year across, and not just across the state. I mean, last year I spoke in Ohio, I spoke in Maryland, I spoke in Michigan, as well as stops in Pennsylvania. And in the past, I've gone to Jersey, I've gone to New York, I've gone to Boston, you know, D.C. So I've done a lot of this. And when I've gone out there, I've talked about how great the culture is here. And this is another example of it. And that's why when I look at James Franklin gets up and does exactly the right thing. Exactly the right thing. And when he does this, and Sandy Barber, I believe, mentioned it as well, and James did it in the post game of the Pinstripe Bowl. Perfect. You want to talk about culture? This is culture. Well, exactly right. And when you look at Thon raising over $13 million again, $127 million since 1977, the money going to battle pediatric cancer, help out families, and a wide variety of uses at the Hershey Medical Center. Penn Staters banding together to do something extremely positive in the largest run student philanthropy in the world. Now, you look at football. Football set a record last year for the highest amount of hours put in for community service. Uplifting Athletes is easily, the Penn State chapter, easily the number one fundraiser in Uplifting Athletes in America by a wide margin. And Lift for Life will take place in July again this year. Coaches versus Cancer, Penn State basketball, seventh among Coaches versus Cancer fundraisers in the country. Seventh. Pink Zone, that's coming up for the Lady Lion basketball team. It's also going to be in conjunction with Senior Day. They're going to raise over $300,000 for breast cancer research and breast cancer survivors. Fight Against Autism. It's the number one fight. It's the number one fundraiser on a campus in the country when it comes to the battle against autism. That's coming up in April. Penn State basketball will be a part of that. I've emceed that every year now. This will be the 11th year. I've participated all 11 years. And that's what they do here. You have championship-winning volleyball that graduates players and has no hint of anything other than being a really well-run program. Wrestling's won four straight national championships. Like volleyball, extremely well-coached. Like volleyball, the head coach has the same ideals. Graduate the wrestlers, win titles, participate in the community. Football, James Franklin talked about the community service hours, graduation rate, which has continued from Joe Paterno to Bill O'Brien to James Franklin. Graduation rate, tremendous. Winning football games, same story. Crowds turn out in droves. The only two teams in the Big Ten to sell out their bowl games this year were Penn State and Ohio State. Women's basketball, whether it's Rainey Portland or now to Coquies Washington, same thing. Win, graduate players. Men's basketball may not be as much winning, but I'll tell you right now, they you know, lots of community service, graduating players. APR, never an issue. And you can go sport by sport. Char Morette, what she's done with field hockey, graduates players, wins championships. Over and over and over. The culture of this campus is something where it's been, they throw their heart and souls into it. But there's another part to it as well. Need to keep talking about it on a constant basis. I have talked about it so often in, you know, every speech I talk about it. I've talked about it on this show how many times. So believe me, I've been talking about it. And it's not just talking about it because you're trying to convince somebody on the outside of it, because there are people on the outside you are never going to be able to convince. Never. No matter what you say. Because the base narrative is out there, and it's very difficult to buck the base narrative unless something else dramatic happens. But part of talking about the culture is to tell your own people you've got a great culture, so that they're confident when they go to work or they're doing something out there on behalf of Penn State, that they feel great about the place. And you look around and say, you know, the heck with what the rest of you think. that I know how great things are. I was talking last week about when it came to the economics of the place. You don't think every university president in the country doesn't wish that they had an autonomous athletic department that was not taking away funds from the university or the state? I mean, don't you think that every university president is sitting there saying, I wish we had a self-sustaining athletic department? And there's so many things that you need to not just to tell the outside world, because you want to tell recruits and so forth and get it out there, but you got to tell your own people too. And that's important, to get in there like James Franklin did at Thon yesterday and say this, you know, you want to talk about culture, look how great this culture is. I believe Sandy Barber did the same thing. Well, that's true, because it is. And keep in mind that accusations have been made, but only accusations. There are three people still awaiting trial. Isn't there been nothing determined in a court of law about three people at all? So why is the world making assumptions? Well, the world can make assumptions all they want, but people internally should look around and say, you know what? This is a great place to be and a great place to live. And that goes for the entire state. Up and down the valley, great place to live, great place to work. Fortunate to root for a team that does so many positive things in the community, gives back, raising money. Thon may not be an athletic endeavor, but it's a Penn State endeavor. It's the largest student-run philanthropy in the world. Did it set a record this year? No. Does it matter? No. They've raised $127 million now since 1977. Remarkable. I believe next year is the 40th year of Thon. I think 17 will be the 40th anniversary, but next year is the 40th Thon. So remarkable numbers. And that's because they get the general public, obviously, to donate, but Penn Staters donate, throw their heart and soul into it. What other school is going to send over as many fans as Penn State did to Ireland? Sell out Yankee Stadium. Big Ten's got a big, big proposition in front of themselves next year when it comes to Yankee Stadium in New York. They get the partnership with Yankee Stadium, part of the Pinstripe Bowl, first year. And could Penn State have done any more to get that partnership off to a better start by selling the place out and making it sound like a home game? Really? Look at what they've done in men's ice hockey here. That place is sold out. It's rocking. People are loving it. Rec Hall sold out for wrestling, rocking it. Women's volleyball draws well. We know that men's basketball needs to do better drawing. We know that men's basketball needs to win more. We know that. Football attendance up 5,000. I'm not going to let anybody, and I've talked about the speaking engagements that I do every year. Well, what about all, and I talk about this on every talk show I'm on. And I'm on a lot of them during the course of a year, whether it's Sirius XM or whether it's a local station someplace else in the country, Oklahoma, Austin, Champaign, Chicago, Columbus, whatever that happens to be, Minnesota, Lincoln. You're on all of these, and they talk about it on all of them. Maybe you'll change a mind here or there, maybe. But at the same time, to continue to reinforce what is true and making sure that your own people, your own fans know that it's true and that you believe in it, and it's great for them, great for you to believe in it as well. Very, very important. All right? It's about time that Penn State brags about how great Penn State is and does it in a classy way. It's all right to do that. It's all right to be proud. All right, next half hour coming up. We got still have Dave Paulson to come at 4:06 today. Ben Jones, statecollege.com. We'll talk with him. And then don't forget, at 5:15 tonight, Kevin will talk about the Daytona 500. Things like, I think that's a good time slot for that to happen in.
The topic, get rid of the restrictor plate.
Nobody cares.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In an hour from now, we'll find out what Kevin is driving this week. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They will take care of all of your insurance needs. They'll find you the best prices. They'll also make sure you are completely covered. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Kevin Herr is here. He wants to talk about the Daytona 500.
I forgot how much I disliked restrictor plate racing.
All right, let's bring in Ben Jones now from statecollege.com. Ben, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Glad to hear from you. It's good to be here.
All right. Saturday, obviously, was not a good performance. No matter, you know, there's nothing you can slice about it that you get out of that. What are you seeing in this team? Because it's been a mixed bag. At Ohio State, you know, okay, you could see that one coming. Then they come home and play two really solid games, and then this happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, you know, I think Penn State basketball has always been one of those programs where you think you know what's going to happen, and then something else does, or you have an idea of how this team is going to do, and then they do something else. And I think this game is sort of, you know, one of those things where it reminded me a lot, in all honesty. It reminded me of the first game at Rutgers that Penn State had where the shots didn't fall. Penn State struggled offensively to really find any rhythm, and you take DJ Nubel out of the equation, who really didn't do anything outside of his 3 points. He had 9 rebounds, which is good, but I mean, they need him to score more than 3 points. So I think you have a game like that where things aren't really clicking. It just sort of gets on, you know, it piles up. And I think Northwestern is a team a lot like Penn State, a little bit better than their record. They've been playing good basketball. They'd won 2 straight games coming into that game, so they were sort of on a tear. Penn State's coming off of a semi-emotional loss to Maryland, and to have all of that just sort of pile up, plus Newbill not playing very well, I think it just sort of culminates in a game like the one that you saw on Saturday. I do think it is kind of ironic that a Penn State goes out and has 11 assists, really turns the ball over. You know, 14 times isn't good, but that's sort of on par with what they've done in some of these better games, 6 blocks and only 15 personal fouls, which isn't too bad for a team that fouls a lot. So they did a lot of good things on the box score, but there are a lot of things that obviously, you know, you have to go out and make shots. At the end of the day, you just have to make shots.
Let's be conservative, Ben. I think if you conservatively go into a game and you think to yourself, okay, DJ Newbill, Brandon Taylor, 20 points, right? I mean, that's a conservative number, 20 points. They got 3.
Yeah, and I mean, they can't win games doing that. I mean, especially, you know what DJ is going to bring to the table 95% of the time. And I think Brandon Taylor, his biggest issue this year is they need him to be consistent, kind of like they've needed Ross Travis to find a consistent game. I think when Brandon Taylor makes those outside shots, when he posts up inside, where I think he's even more effective, you know, you can get those 8 or 10 or 15 points out of him without much trouble. But for him to go 0-for-7 from the field and all, you know, 5 of those shots coming from outside, couple that with the fact that DJ's only got 3 points and he gets that, you know, late in the game when it's essentially already decided, you're asking a lot of guys to do a lot of heavy lifting that they're not doing most of the year. And to their credit, you know, Geno Thorpe and Shep Gardner had, you know, they played like they kind of knew that they were the only ones that were really making plays.
Right.
In that game, but at the same time, they're not really equipped at this point to do the things that, that Brandon and DJ have done for Penn State this year.
The only area where I take anything out of it, Ben, is the segment of the game where Newbill and Taylor were on the bench, and they actually cut it down to four and had three chances to cut it down further. That was a point where your top two scorers were out and they made plays. That's the only thing I can take out of it, but it is something I take out of
it. Yeah, and I mean, those are the, you've gotten to this point of the year where you start to look ahead a little bit. Maybe the team doesn't, but I think you and I and people that follow this program kind of look and see, okay, what's it going to be like next year? And I think those moments, obviously Brandon Taylor will be back, but DJ won't be. You're trying to find who is going to be the next DJ, who's going to be the next Taylor Battle, who's going to be the next Tim Frazier, that guy that can kind of carry Penn State with a lot of help. And I don't know if Penn State has an answer to that question just yet, but I think definitely you've seen, especially in that moment, some complimentary basketball. I think that's a word that, you know, I'm sure Bill O'Brien somewhere is happy that someone's saying that people are playing complimentary sports. But nevertheless, I think you saw, like you said, a team that's going to look like next year's team, succeeding without DJ, succeeding without Brandon Taylor. And that's certainly a good sign, if nothing else. But then again, you know, Northwestern's been a team that struggled in its own right, so it's not like you're cutting a double-digit lead down to four against Ohio State.
Right. No, no question. Yeah, but to their credit, now won three in a row. They look good doing it. All right, now let's talk about now the finish here. They've got a week off. The timing of the bye week I don't think could be any better for them. Probably would have helped if it was actually a week sooner. But when you watch this team, do they need a little bit of time to get some legs back?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I don't think there's any doubt that this team needs a little time to sort of recover, recuperate. They've been through, you know, that Ohio State game sort of kicked off a stretch of a lot of really tough games. They go out to Ohio State, just, you know, they get blown out in that game. Really the only time this year that that's happened. Maryland's a close game. Wisconsin's a close game. Northwestern's one of those games that you want to forget as soon as you can. I don't think there's any doubt that this team needs some time to sort of recuperate, sort of, you know, get reset a little bit. DJ says that he hasn't been tired in years, but, you know, I think it's safe to say that going in all of these games where he's done a lot of the heavy lifting himself, you know, I'm sure he's happy to have a week off. And it gives you time to get ready for an Iowa team that's, you know, really not going to be an easy out by any stretch. I watched them play Nebraska yesterday, and they pretty much blew the doors off of that game, you know, early. And that's the kind of team that Iowa is. And then you've got Ohio State to finish out the home slate, at least. And obviously the first meeting in that game or that series this year didn't go well, so you want to get yourself prepared for that, prepared for senior night before you finish off the regular season on the road at Minnesota, in a place that's always going to be difficult to play no matter how good the Gophers are.
All right, no question about that. How closely do you follow the combine, and what do you take out of it?
Well, I think the most surprising thing that I took out of the combine was the fact that a lot of analysts, and these guys obviously see a lot of bodies and know what they're talking about, mm-hmm. really kind of sold my call as a guy that wasn't going to succeed maybe at the level that Penn State fans have seen him play at. And I, you know, I know that he's got short arms. Maybe he's not the fastest guy. Maybe he's not the most athletic, but I have a hard time ever really betting against Mike Hall when it comes down to something that involves, you know, a high competitive climate, a place where, you know, you might get beat this rep, but you're going to have a chance to get the guy back the next time. And I think that's kind of the area where Mike Hall thrives. And he had a good combine. Jesse James, I think, kind of showed everyone that he's as athletic and as large as we all knew him to be, but compared to everyone else in the country, that he stands up there with everyone else. And Adrian Amos ran a sub 4.5 40 this morning. So I think, you know, it's been a good weekend for the guys that went to the combine. And I think it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out, because they're all sort of in a unique situation with their positions, teams need, and sort of how they their measurables stack up against everyone else's.
Right. And I know that a lot of people look at Mike Hall, they see Chris Borland. The people I've talked with, they see Chris Borland of the 49ers as the kind of player he is. Because he's a player, they'll take a flyer on him, and when they do, they'll find they got a football player. So, Mike will get drafted. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind Mike gets drafted.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt that he gets drafted or finds a home. I think you know, the fact that everyone that's coached him while he's at Penn State has said he's such a high IQ guy, such a high motor. And, I mean, we've seen him on countless plays go from being out of the play or just missing something to making the play on the other side of the field. His sideline-to-sideline ability has been one of the most impressive things, and his motor has been one of the things that you really need. And I think it was J.J. Watt that tweeted something earlier this year that, you know, the draft and all of that stuff and signing day is all very exciting and all of this, but, you know, really the best players are the ones that work the hardest, and I don't think that there's any doubt that Mike Hull has the talent and more importantly has the work ethic to make up for any gap that's between maybe that elite-level linebacker and where he is right now, which is admittedly not too far off from them.
While I'll tell you, one of the aspects of the combine I always get a kick out of is that when you watch games, or you read, with all due respect, recruiting sites, that guy's a 4.3, or that guy's a 4.3, and all of a sudden they get out of here and they get in the watch. You notice how much slower the times are at the combine? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt why people like running their 40 again at their pro day. And, you know, it's certainly, I always thought a lot of that stuff is a good measure of sort of pure athleticism. But, you know, when was the last time you saw Sam Ficken run a 40-yard dash that didn't involve him running away from his teammates after a game?
Right.
It's, you know, a lot of those things are sort of, you know, interesting. But at the same time, you know, Donovan Smith is probably never going to bench, 30 reps of a 225-pound weight right in the middle of the game. So, you know, it is what it is.
But I get a kick out of, you know, like he was a 4.3 in college. All of a sudden, it's like take Melvin Gordon. Now, you and I both know football speed. Melvin Gordon has a gear. He ran 4.52. Okay. That's really, really good. I mean, I can't even drive 4.52. But, you know, he ran 4.52. I think the world thought he was a 4.35, 4.4 guy. No. And this is across the board. You see guys across the board nowhere near running the times that everybody's been sold on. And this happens every combine. And that's the part. Now, the track in Indianapolis is slower. I also know that. But still, that's the part I get a kick out of.
Yeah, and I think you heard Franklin said a couple of weeks ago at the signing day thing about how, you know, you see these recruiting sites that have, you know, 60 guys running a, you know, 4 seconds flat practically, and then by the time they get to the combine, there's four guys that break under that mark, and you go, you know, what happened to everyone? So I think there's no doubt that, you know, there's a lot of factors that play into everyone's amazingly fast 40 times.
Yeah. Yeah, like fantasy camp. All right, thanks so much. Appreciate it very much.
Sure thing, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks so much, Ben. Appreciate it. And I know a guy that, Kevin, you have zeroed in on, Trey Wayans. You want to know what he ran today?
What did he run today?
Oh, why don't you guess?
4.3.
You're close. He ran 4.32. Remarkable time.
If it were me, I'd still be trying to finish.
I'm just saying, most of those 40 times are slow, Kev. And it's every year.
Well, you know what, though? I also agree with, and I think you said this last week, I want to know what their speed is with somebody chasing them. That's what I'm more concerned about. Not their straight line speed. How fast can they be with somebody chasing them or with a cut in the middle of the game, in the middle of the field?
No, I didn't say that. I said I want to see them run it in pads.
In pads, okay. I want to see somebody in pads and chasing them. How's that?
Because the game is in pads. Now, obviously it shows a certain amount of athleticism, but almost all the 40 times, if I were to say Melvin Gordon, you would have said, well, geez, he's going to be 4.4. He's 4.52. That's great. Jeremy Langford ran like a 4.42 or something like that, which was number one among running backs. But, you know, all these wideouts. Okay. Amari Cooper. What do you think Amari Cooper is? Alabama.
4.43.
No, he's 4.42. A lot of people thought he was a 4.3 guy. He's just faster than everybody else. I mean, no, he's not. All right. Jameis Winston.
Winston, what's his number? I never thought of him as that fast, so I would say 4.45.
4.92.
Wow, that's a lot slower than I thought.
That's right.
I mean, 4.45 is not, I don't consider that lightning fast either, but 4.9 is, man.
If he's a quarterback.
Yeah,
you know what impresses me about him? What impresses me about Jameis Winston is that I think he has very good pocket presence and he's accurate when he throws the football. That's a big part in the NFL. Accuracy is important. He has that. And it'll translate. Now the question is, will his off-the-field problems translate? And that is an issue right now. And if Mariota is very impressive in his workouts, and he was impressive in his workouts this weekend, Mariota doesn't bring with him baggage. Something to contemplate. We'll come back with more in a moment. Dave Paulson, next half hour, and Kevin on his new vehicle about 45 minutes from now, all on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
We talk about the value of a linebacker. A lot of people have talked about Mike Hall when they have. They've talked. One thing they were talking about the combine, Mike ran a 4.68. I would think that in 3 weeks when they get here, Mike will probably run a little bit better than that. He'll be around the 4.6 area. That's about where Mike will run. He ran 4.68 in Indy. That track's a little bit slower, always has been for whatever reason. But my guess is he'll run 4.6 here. He banged out with 31 reps at 225 pounds. I expected that. I told you on Friday that he'd knock out 30, knocked out 31. And one area they measure, they said, well, his arms are a little shorter. He's 237 pounds. They say his arms are a little shorter. You say, well, what does that matter? Well, it does matter in this way, because when you're fighting traffic, if you have longer arms, you can get rid of them, and they don't have a better shot of getting into your body. That's why they measure that. But what Mike brings to the table are tremendous football instincts that allow him to not only use his speed, but also would get an additional step. And his ability to play the pass is very important. Very important. And here's where it's important. It's not the number of interceptions that you get. It's not the number of interceptions. It is the ability to disrupt a pass play by understanding the proper depth of a drop that you make. Let me give you a great moment for Penn State. 2005, they beat Ohio State at Beaver Stadium. In that game, one of the pivotal plays of the game was Calvin Lowry's interception of Troy Smith that he brought back to the 3-yard line. I think many of you recall exactly the play I'm talking about here. And in that, and on that play, what made the play? There was some pressure on Smith, some, but what made the play? What made the play was Paul Posluszny, a linebacker, dropping at a depth deep enough where Smith felt like he had to throw it over him to get it to the spot he wanted. And in the process of throwing it over Posluszny, he overthrew it and allowed Lowry to get the interception. That is a play where the linebacker makes the play possible for the safety, because the linebacker dropped to a depth where the quarterback had to then feel that, yeah, I've got to get it over this guy to make the play in that zone. And in the process of that, he overthrows it because he's trying to throw over the linebacker. And Lowry's there playing center field. That's the value of having a linebacker that knows how to play the pass game. Posluszny did it on that play, and the number of times, of course, this year that we've watched, and over the last 4 years, we've watched Mike Hall do it, very impressive. Just all they're going to do, they'll get a bunch of cut-ups, throw it on the computer, and say, you know what, this guy can play football. So he has measurables, 4.68 in the 40, he's very good, it's top 15. 31 reps on the bench press, great. I'm sure he shuttle ran it really well. But he has the natural football instincts that you can see when you throw cut-ups in there on the computer. You can see it. 4.48 today for Adrian Amos. In his time, Jesse James ran a 4.8 and knocked out 26 reps and had a great combine on Friday. 26 reps, 2.25 for Donovan Smith. And does it really matter what the numbers were on Sam Ficken? They just want to know if he can make kicks. Simple as that. Can you make some kicks? Ficken's in great shape anyway, but still. Don't really care if my kicker bangs out a bunch of reps at 225 pounds. I just want to know if he can give me some touchbacks and he can kick the ball over 50 yards.
Just put it between the pipes and over the one that goes left to right.
That's what you need. I'm sure Sebastian Janikowski doesn't have a great combine. In fact, at this moment, they're still timing him in the 40. From 12 years ago. He's almost to the tape. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Next half hour, Dave Paulson. Kevin will tell us about the vehicles driving this week, a mere 36 minutes from now, from Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K-Roots 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Don't forget, 3 a.m., Kevin and NASCAR.